Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about my favorite Aftershock series of all time. We're up to Replica Issue 5. It is, for now, the last issue of the series. Paul Jenkins did say last year that he was hoping to get back to it. Haven't heard anything recently, but we're certainly hoping that it comes out sometime because this series is absolutely amazing. I've covered in depth issues 1 through 4, and now we're up to issue 5. So as I said, it's from Paul Jenkins. He's the creator and writer. Andy Clark is the artist, Dan Brown on colors, and Clayton Cowell handling the letters. Book and logo designed by John J. Hill. And it's from Aftershock, as I said. Really, really great title. If you don't remember what Replica is about, it's basically this big melting pot type space station with millions, if not billions, of people living on it that space explorers just kind of found. They came upon it and they, you know, decided to use it as their own, even though a big portion of the station is kind of off limits. There's some kind of AI or machines over there. There's some kind of mystery going on. Don't know exactly. Anybody they send over there never returns, so they're just unsure of what it's about. But the station itself, obviously, it's called the Transfer, and it needs to be policed. There needs to be order. And so even though there's all these thousands and thousands of different alien species that have different sort of laws and understanding and customs and culture, they all agree, if they're on the station, to live by Terran law, so Earth law. And the story is about Detective Trevor Churchill, who is a human that works for that police force. And in the first issue, he gets kind of fed up with some of his partners that he tries to keep the peace with because they aren't human and they don't really understand the language and the customs and the culture and the Terran law. And so he decides, probably against better judgment, to basically clone himself. He just wants one more of himself, somebody that he can rely on that thinks like him, do his paperwork, that sort of thing. And then through an accident at the cloning lab, instead of getting one clone, he ends up with 49 clone or 50 clones. So as you can imagine, hijinks ensue, and they're not all exactly alike. The clones represent different sort of aspects of his personality. Some are more obviously individual than others. And what's great about the series is on each issue, whatever issue that is, whatever issue number, that's kind of who it focuses on. So the first issue kind of focuses on Detective Trevor Churchill, right? Because he's the main guy. He's number one. And then the second issue focuses on his clone that has a number two tattooed on his forehead, who likes to go by Roger instead of two, because the rest of them mostly go by their numbers. And then issue three was about clone number three, issue four, clone number four, and so on and so forth. So with this one, with number five, it's about clone number five. And clone number five is very different from the rest. And so as we start off this issue, we see the narration saying, this is clone number five. Now, in my defense, I just want to point out that cloning is not an exact science. I mean, clones sometimes spend hours waiting to be fished out of the recovery tank. You never know what could end up going wrong. Am I right? Anyway, this is clone number five, our resident legal expert. You know, I also want to point out that it wasn't exactly my idea to clone myself 50 times. I mean, that's the point of what I'm trying to say here. So that being said, this is five, down a bit, just a little lower. Got it. And as we're reading this narration and the camera angle is sort of panning down to clone number five, we see that he's very deformed. He doesn't have a lot of hair, you know, it's kind of in patches, and one half of his face is kind of severely deformed and just misshapen. One of his eyes is almost like swollen shut. His skull looks like it's misshapen. And he walks up to another couple of the clones that are by the water cooler. And one says, hey, Quasi, thanks for helping with that back file. You really saved my ass with the chief. And the other says, a quasi legal question. If you burn something remotely and you aren't there to see it, are you still responsible? And he kind of answers, but he's like, yeah, 16, no problem. And 60 answers, yes, you know that transfer law dictates, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, you guys, you know, I'd really rather you didn't call me Quasi. And they're like, oh, okay, good to know. And they kind of walk off saying, thanks, Quasi, you're a genius, man. And as he comes around the corner, there's a couple other clones talking, and one of them saying, I'm just saying he looks like a freak. His head looks like a pair of gonads. And the other one's saying, ixnay, ixnay. And he just kind of walks by him as they kind of give him a funny look, wondering if he saw them or not. And he's also shorter, and his body doesn't look like it's developed. His musculature doesn't look like it's as well developed. Everyone else is, all the other clones are taller than him. So we see him head to the holding cells. He has a court order for the release of some inmates that are being held there. And so the guard looks at it. He says, okay, your charges are in holding cell Alpha 13. He goes over to 13, and there we see Trevor, clone number two, clone number four, and Trevor's partner, the one that basically is the reason that Trevor wanted to create clones in the first place, Lieutenant Vorgas, who is, to quote Trevor, a box of rocks with the rocks taken out. Like, that's how dumb he is. And he's just an alien. He's a member of the Shad, it's called, S-H-A-D, and or Shadar, S-H-A-D-A-R-R. That's what it is, Shadar. And they're just a very literal people. So a lot of times when Trevor says something to him, he just doesn't get it, because he's very literal. So anyway, at the end of issue four, we saw that sort of the antagonist, or the bad guys, this alien race called the Scarlet, who are very adept at political maneuvering. And basically what they do is they change their laws. They have a lot of sway on the station, and they change their laws without notice, very quickly, because they don't have any political infighting amongst themselves. So they're able to do this really quickly. And so they change their laws to suit whatever it is that they need them to do. And obviously humans, continuing their inability to work amongst themselves and to be cooperative, couldn't possibly hope to keep up with that kind of, you know, legal maneuvering, because they can't all agree on things the way the Scarlet can. So basically what has happened, what was revealed last issue in issue four, is that there's an alien race called the Mazulch, and somehow they had in their possession some machine artifacts that are from that portion of the station that's kind of off limits and forbidden zone that nobody ever comes back from. And the Scarlet apparently think that there's a lot of power to be had by either being able to contact the machines using these machine artifacts, or, you know, they believe there's some worth there, that it's going to give them a leg up and it's going to add to their power base, because they seem to be very ambitious, unscrupulously so. And like I said, the Mazulch have these artifacts. And so the scheming kind of race that they are, what the Scarlet alien race did was they bought up all the adjoining space around the Mazulch home planet, and then the Mazulch home planet exploded. Now, we don't have any proof, or nothing has been said about the Scarlet being responsible, but it sure looks suspicious, because now that there's no longer a planet there, then the Scarlet just kind of absorb that area of space, right? But there were a number of this Mazulch race on the transfer in the Mazulch embassy, and that happens to be where those machine artifacts were. But we saw last issue that the Scarlet bombed the Mazulch embassy and killed enough of the Mazulch beings that were left so that they're no longer recognized, because there's a law that says you have to have at least 50 members of the species in order to be recognized as a sovereign planet or a sovereign race, right? So once the Mazulch embassy is a bomb goes off there, it kills enough of the Mazulch that they are no longer a sovereign territory. And so the Mazulch, because they own that section of space, they immediately take over that embassy, and that includes everything that's in it. So including those machine artifacts. And so, you know, at the time that this happened, clone number four, who's sort of a Sherlock Holmes, he's like very much the detective part of Trevor Churchill's personality and a very good investigator. He'd sort of figured this out. And the other members that are in the cell here, Trevor, clone number two, and Vorgas, they were there kind of following leads, trail of breadcrumbs. It took them longer to get there, but they got there. And once clone number four figured it out, he headed over there to try to save them because he sort of knew what was going to happen. And so sure enough, the embassy was exploded, and then all of our protagonists here got arrested for trespassing, basically. And so clone number five shows up and he says, we don't have a lot of time. The Scarlet have accused you guys of trespassing on their sovereign territory once they took possession of the Mazulch embassy. And Trevor's like, because they blew it up while we were standing in it, and enough of the Mazulch died that they took it over. And clone five's like, that's exactly what they had planned. You know, they planned ahead, they manipulated the situation. So, you know, now you guys are in trouble, basically. So he's like, well, follow me. And Trevor's like, you know, why don't we just change our laws, Quaz? Whenever they change theirs, we just change ours. I love Quaz's response. He says, well, I think you know the answer. It's because our politicians can't even come to an agreement on water being wet. So the Scarlet use our political dysfunction to their advantage. And as I've asked you before, I'd prefer if you didn't call me Quaz or Quasi or any derivative of Quasimodo, because that's where the origin of that nickname comes. Because, you know, like the hunchback in Notre Dame, who was named Quasimodo, he was that hunchback was deformed, and obviously clone five is deformed, so that's how he's gotten this this nickname. So Quaz or clone number five goes on to say, okay, so we have this situation, it's a legal thing, and apparently somebody at the precinct in his work application said that all his personal legal issues would be resolved by direct confrontation rather than any kind of court procedure. And, you know, we can all guess who that is. It's Vorgas, who's a member of the Shadar race, as I said, very militant. And Trevor's like, what? And Vorgas is, you know, excited about this. He's like, bring these Scarlet Ruffians forward. I relish the opportunity to settle our difference the Shadar way by mortal combat. And so sure enough, they walk in the next room, and Trevor's like, nah, it's not going to work like that. But Scarlet is there. The Scarlet representative is there. And he basically says, hey, you know, bring it on. We're ready to fight you. Claim the right of direct confrontation as requested by your partner. And, you know, he then cites this obscure paragraph, subsection, blah, 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 13 amended clause. You've been accused of trespassing. The punishment is death. There's no possibility of appeal. Again, these crazy Scarlet laws. And Trevor tries to explain, hey, I was investigating a crime. And the Scarlet, they don't want to hear it. They say that doesn't matter. It's illegal for Offworlds to be on Scarlet territory. And he's like, it wasn't even Scarlet territory until about 10 minutes ago. And so the Scarlet representative turns to clone number five. He says, you know, we've clearly outlined the specific nature of your transgressions. And five reminds him, hey, you can't prosecute a detective who's acting in the line of duty on the transfer. You can't do that. He says, you're going to have to wait until Detective Churchill returns to Scarlet territory in order to prosecute him, because we're not on Scarlet territory now. So you don't really have jurisdiction here. And the Scarlet representative, Imperator Garel is his name. He says, well, we may be persuaded not to seek extradition and reparations, like the head of this Shadar Kerr, for example. In fact, we acknowledge that you were acting within the scope of your duties. And you know what we're going to do in the name of interstellar relations? We're just going to drop all the charges. Do you accept? And Trevor's like, wait, you came all the way down here to drop the charges? Like, why? Okay, fine, whatever. And Quasimodo, Clone 5, immediately steps in. No, wait. He says, listen, Detective Churchill, Vorgas, all the clones, they all summarily reject your offer, and no future offers will be considered now. Go away. Leave this precinct before I have you arrested for trespassing. And Trevor's like, what? They're going to drop the charges. Why would we not like take advantage of that? And Garel is like, oh, you little troll. You know, you and your Terran paymasters have earned the enmity of the Scarlet. Like, they didn't know, like, they weren't enemies already, right? And Quaz is like, well, how shall I ever sleep? And Garel's response is, well, I would advise with one eye open. And, you know, Clone 5 is not about to be intimidated. He goes, you know what? I'll take that under advisement. Meanwhile, we're going to prepare our legal defense. So fuck off. And they storm out. And Trevor wants to know, well, why did you just agree to put us in front of a firing squad when they were ready to drop the charges? And Clone 5 says, because they have a law, very obscure, that if you agree to any sort of dropping of charges, even if they're trumped up charges, you become the official property of the Scarlet Empire. It's their oldest trick. And Clone number 2 is like, oh, so you made him think you didn't know about that, but then you gave him both barrels. Man, I'd hug you if you didn't have such a revolting skin condition, you nasty little goblin. So as smart as Clone 5 is, Quaz constantly getting him out of trouble. Man, they really talk some smack on the guy. And Vorgas has to chime in. Well, I also made them think I was stupid. Trevor's like, yeah, you did great at that. And Quaz's like, look, we're not out of the woods yet. All I did was buy some time. They're going to go work out how they need to change their laws again to work, you know, to work things out in their favor. And this is a legal nightmare. I need to go and look at it. So please, I need you guys to stay out of trouble. Take the day off, go golfing or something. Just let me work and just go somewhere and don't get in any more trouble. Get it? Got it. Good. And he walks off. And so an hour later, we see that Clone number 2, Clone 14, and Trevor, so three of the four that were locked up, are now joined by Clone number 14, who I guess you'd say he's the gluttonous part of Trevor's personality, because he's always eating and he's overweight. He doesn't resemble a lot of the other clones because he's so much heavier, as opposed to the others who all sort of have the same body type. But anyway, they're back at the site of the Mazulch embassy, which is now in the hands of the Scarlet, and they're on a building a little ways away, and they're watching through some binoculars. And Two's like, I thought we're going to go golfing. What are we doing here? And Trevor says, well, we're ignoring legal counsel because the last thing anybody would expect us to do is come back here. Like, who in their right mind would come back to Scarlet territory when they know if they get caught, they're going to be executed? But those assholes have blown up a planet of some very nice aliens just to take control of the machine artifacts. And I don't like it one bit. So because I'm not currently in my right mind, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to return to their territory. And Two's like, okay, but why did we have to come along? And why did we bring 14? Trevor's like, all shall be revealed. All you need to know is we're going to take these guys down. And when he looks down through his binoculars, he sees down in the embassy, one of the robot police officers, Veet is his name, is down there in the compound. And he kind of gives the high sign. And Trevor says, okay, great. He spotted him. He's got the signal. Let's open up a channel to the legal expert. So he calls Clone 5. And Clone 5 says, hey, I looked for you and 2 and 4 a while ago. Where are you guys? Hey, we're playing golfing like you told us, Quaz. How's the legal stuff going? He says, well, it's going okay. Some of the Scarlet Law is kind of complicated. But man, they're a real genius when it comes to manipulating the law. And Trevor says, don't worry, you'll figure it out. I'll call you back after we finish our round. And Clone number 2, Roger, he's like, what was that all about? Trevor says, just establishing an alibi because we're about to do something really stupid. And Clone 2 says, well, if we're going to do something stupid, shouldn't we have brought Vorgas for that? And so Trevor tells him, no, take a look. As much as it pains me to admit we're not going to go golfing, What we are going to do is we're going into the former Mazulch embassy to get those machine artifacts, and we're going in commando style. And so when he looks down, he sees that actually Vorgas is not far away. He's walked right up to the entrance of the former Mazulch embassy. And as the scene shifts down there, we see Vorgas, he's attempting to surrender to these Scarlet Guards, and they keep telling him, you can't surrender, it hasn't been authorized. And Vorgas, who's much larger than any of these Scarlet Guards that are there, it's like, what do you mean I can't surrender? That's an outrage. I'm surrendering. No, it hasn't been permitted. You've been misled. Are you calling my partner and brother a liar? No, you can't surrender. It hasn't been authorized. And Vorgas gets right up in his face and he says, you will accept my surrender, Scarlet Dog, or I will make you accept my surrender. And so meanwhile, the other four clones and Trevor, other three clones, I should say, and Trevor, 2, 4, and 14, they're all naked and they come running from around the corner while all the Scarlet guards are distracted. And Trevor's saying, that ought to keep them busy for a while. And clone number two saying, I didn't think you meant literally. Trevor's like, what are you talking about? It's a commando style. I thought you meant it was going to be like a commando assault. I didn't mean know that you meant that we were going to be naked. Like, why are we naked? And Trevor's like, dude, I've seen yours before. Trust me, I've got one just like it. And clone two's like, that's not the point. It's like, okay, seriously, you guys, just follow me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. So he says, all will be revealed. Just relax. Think of yourself as a naked ninja and we'll be fine. And they meet up with Veet and they retrieve something that Trevor left there earlier. And he says, you know, the Scarlet play by a whole new set of rules. So we got to come up with our own set. And it's got to be random and unpredictable, because if it's a, you know, standard plan, they're going to figure it out. And here's one that I actually prepared earlier. And they're like, what do you mean earlier? He says, look, this is something that clone number six cooked up for me. He calls it a fire sucker. It's been sitting here since this morning when we visited the embassy, just before it became a crime scene. They're like, wait, you knew the Scarlet were going to blow up this place? Why didn't you say so? He's like, no, I didn't know. He's like, I leave these things all around wherever I go, just in case something happens. And two says, well, okay, in case what? What does it do? Well, under certain circumstances, it's highly flammable. Well, how is that being careful? He said, look, it's theoretical mostly. So it's this kind of bomb that charges up like a battery, and it uses inorganic material as fuel when it explodes. And because there's going to be an explosion, I think we should take our distance from the embassy. So they find a spot kind of overlooking, and they climb up. And meanwhile, back at the police station, Five thinks that he found like a loophole. And he says, you know, the Scarlet are constantly creating new laws. And so they're bound to create loopholes because they create a law that contradicts a previous law, because they have, you know, so many laws and so many clauses and addendums and that kind of thing. And while he's working this out, clone 31 shows up and he says, hey, you have visitors from the Terran embassy? And Quaz is like, wait, our people, what do they want? Like, I don't know. They came and they said they want to speak to the guy in charge. And Trevor's playing golf with 2 and 4. That's not like I'm going to send him to 3, who we met, you know, a couple issues ago, who's like a total stoner. And so it falls to 5 as the lowest numbered clone, as the senior guy at this point. And so he meets with the Terran ambassador, and the Terran ambassador says, well, I'd like to speak to Detective Churchill. Well, he's not here right now. He's working on a case. What can I do for you? And the ambassador says, well, we understand Detective Churchill was present when the Mazulch embassy became the property of the Empire, and that the Scarlet have found him guilty of trespassing and interstellar espionage. Is that correct? And clone number 5 is like, well, that's not exactly what's going on. Their case doesn't really have merit. And I think I just found a way to kind of blow their whole case wide open. And the Terran ambassador says, well, I'm afraid it's not going to be that simple. So you get the kind of hint that Trevor's going to get thrown under the bus for political reasons, but we don't know exactly for sure, because when we turn the page, we're back to Trevor, clone 2 and 4 and 14, as well as Veet, and they're now they've moved a little bit away from the embassy. They're overlooking it from above, and Trevor's saying, are you ready for some fireworks? And 2's like, yeah, except first you need to explain why we're naked. And Trevor's like, well, you promise you won't be upset? Look, just tell me, okay? Like, and Trevor says, okay, well, this might be a little bit illegal, but you see the guns that they're down there holding? Like, yeah. Well, I may have paid a few credits to their weapons supplier for a little inside information. And it turns out that their rifles are latinum-based, and they set them to a different frequency every day because the Scarlet are the most paranoid race in the galaxy. In fact, it's kind of a weakness. They're so paranoid. And so earlier today, when they came to the precinct under armed guard, they had to put their rifles through our scanners when they entered the building. And coincidentally, we learned exactly what frequency their weapons are set to today. And Clone 2 says, okay, so, well, on a related note, it turns out most of the clothing that we wear is made out of latinum filament, which is inert and highly stable unless you put a localized charge in the vicinity and allow it to build for a couple hours and then plug it into a destabilizer. And as he says that, he takes that little fire sucker piece of technology that he left hanging around the Mazulch embassy earlier, and he plugs it into a destabilizer. And he says, voila, instant karma. And that's basically why they're naked. He says, so you'll notice that the Mazulch, while being very interesting and this crazy alien shape, they're kind of technically naked. They don't really wear clothes because they look like just these walking bones. Don't even look human at all. And so Trevor says, so the reason that we're naked is because I didn't want anybody to explode when I did this. And he hits the button, and this fire sucker that has absorbed all this energy and is now disrupting the same frequency as all the weapons that the Scarlet Guards are holding basically causes all the Scarlet Guards' rifles to explode while they're holding them. And the Scarlet Guards, they just go up like, I don't even know. They just all like immediately burn like to just piles of ash. Like they're fried pretty quickly. I guess like flash paper would be the way to say it, right? Like magicians use, you know, where they'll have a piece of paper or whatever and they just kind of snap their fingers and there's like a bright just flash and it just like the paper burns to nothing and there's nothing left. It's kind of what happens to these Scarlet Guards. So Trevor says, okay, we got about 3 minutes until, you know, the other guards arrive, so let's get the artifacts and get out of here. So they're able to find the artifacts pretty quickly, and they pick them up, and they're running. They go walking out the front of the embassy onto the crowded street. Now, keep in mind, they're all still naked. A couple of them that are holding the artifacts are kind of holding them in front of their junk. And Clone 4 is like, well, now what? Well, just act casual. Clone 2 is like, casual? I'm naked in public. You want me to act casual? Say, relax. It's good for you. So as they're walking through the crowd, Clone 4 says, contact, we got trouble. There's bogeys at 12 o'clock. And so, oh, there's more over here coming on the ground. And so this is the Scarlet reinforcements basically that are showing up to find out, you know, what happened with the explosion or whatever. And they spot the clones and Trevor, and they say, move to intercept. They're carrying stolen property. We're permitted to terminate them, you know, based on some other crazy Scarlet law. And so they come running up to him. Taren, stand motionless with your appendages raised. And Imperator Garrel's like, I have you now, Detective Churchill. But by the time they fight through the crowd and get there, here's Trevor and his three clones, and they're all standing there naked, and they're not holding anything. And Garrel's like, you're under arrest. Well, what for? The artifacts, what have you done with them? We don't know what you're talking about. Well, do you know what you're talking about? Nope. And basically what's happened is the Kolnik, who's another alien race who is sort of on the side of the humans, much, much friendlier race. Their queen, she happened to be rolling by in her transport. and they basically pass the artifacts off to her. So they're hidden in her car as she just drives off. And the Scarlet don't really have a leg to stand on. Well, where are the weapons you used? What have you done with my artifacts? Well, you know, to Trevor's credit, pretty clever, right? I mean, he's not even wearing any clothes. He's like, when Imperator Garrel asks him that, you know, where are the artifacts? Where are your weapons? Answer me. Trevor's like, well, they're not down here. Although I am pleased to see you. So he's kind of smarting off. And, you know, I mean, what is the Scarlet going to say? There's no proof. They have no weapons. They have no clothes. They don't have the artifacts. Like, they don't have a leg to stand on. And that's where the first volume of Replica ends. So it's a great story. It's very political. There's a lot of humor. The art by Andy Clark is excellent. A lot of detail. The action is well done. The biggest accomplishment for Andy is how he manages to make all the clones look distinct, even when they're very similar in appearance. Through body language and facial expressions, he still manages to distinguish them from each other, even if they have the same kind of body type, you know, same haircut, that kind of thing. So that's done really, really well. And it's just a fun series. With all the different alien races, it can be a little confusing. But if it helps, this is kind of a funny thing that I did when I first started reading it. Because, you know, you have the Scarlet and you have the, you know, the Kolniks and all these different races, the Mazulch. I gave them designations that I was more familiar with. Like I thought of these are the French, these are the Italians, these are the Germans. Just because that term, I was able to remember it more and keep all the factions separated. But then once I've read, you know, this is a series that I revisit probably at least once a year. I read these five issues, if not more, a couple times a year, maybe. So now I'm like, I know this series like the back of my hand, and it's great. So like I said, on an issue of, or an episode of Word Balloon with John Suntress that Paul Jenkins was on, and it might even have been 2019 now that I think about it, but maybe it was 2020, but I think it might have been 2019. Jenkins mentioned that he wanted to bring it back. So I don't know how well it sold. I know that Aftershock might not be interested. I mean, like Super Zero is another series at Aftershock that it was one of the founding series that they launched with, because this is one of the first series that the first, I think it was second or third, anyway, first five for sure, that Aftershock started with, just like Super Zero. And you know, Jimmy Palmiotti even said the other day, well, yeah, we want to bring it back, but Aftershock hasn't been interested. So maybe the sales aren't there. Maybe they just want to focus on, you know, new, younger creators. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure why this hasn't come back. I don't know if it's sales oriented or if it's just the fact that Paul Jenkins is such a known commodity and they want to focus on, you know, younger, hungrier creators. I don't know, unfortunately. What I do know is this is my absolute favorite series from Aftershock ever. And I really, really want it to come back. I want more of the story. And in fact, I think it was the first panel that Aftershock ever did as a publishing company, as a comic book company, was at a Long Beach Comic Con way back in, I think it was 2017. And I was there at the panel, and Jimmy was there, and Amanda and Paul Jenkins was there. And Paul mentioned, he's like, yeah, I love the series. I love the idea. He loved the whole putting a clone on each, the cover of each issue that corresponded. And he's like, I'll clone them another 50 times and we'll go to issue 100 if I could. Like he clearly has a lot of ideas, and it makes sense when you think about how many people he has, you know, and the world that he created on this transfer, on this space station, how many people he has inhabiting it. You know, you're talking about millions, if not billions of people, and all these clones to investigate, you know, crazy crimes and political stuff. And, you know, you can do all kinds of things. We still have the mystery of the machines, what's going on with that, the interactions and the personal dynamics of the clones and their different characteristics and how they interact with each other. there's a lot of fodder for story there. So yeah, I really would like to see this come back in some way, whether it's Kickstarter or self, you know, self-publishing, or if Jenkins was to take it to another publisher, which I guess would be kind of hard because I think Aftershock owns part of the rights to it. So, but yeah, I do hope it comes back in some way, shape, or form. And it's probably time for me to reach out to Paul and have him back on the show. He hasn't been on for quite a while. And maybe we can talk a little bit about Replica and if we might see it come back. So, and if not, maybe he can give us some clues, some answers to some of these mysteries, which he may not necessarily want to do if he, you know, wants to keep those things close to the vest and hopes that this comes back one day. I'm totally fine with that. It's not one of those series where it's so much of a cliffhanger of an ending where, you know, what comes next, you know, kind of like Clone is. Speaking of clones, Trevor's a clone. Another one of my favorite series of all time, Clone by David Schulner, Wade McIntyre, and Ginsberg, is such a great series as well that ended on a big cliffhanger. Obviously that one's a little tougher to swallow. This one, at least it's sort of a complete, story. We get somewhat of an ending, even though we don't have resolution on the machine part of the station. We don't have resolution on Scarlet in this current political situation. Obviously the machine artifacts, and then what the heck was the Terran ambassador doing that he was saying to clone number five, well, it's not going to be that simple of you just finding a loophole and blowing the case wide open. Like what the heck is that? So there are threads, there are things to be resolved, things we'd like answers to. But I'd rather have those answers in the story. And hopefully Andy Clark can come back too, because he's the perfect artist for this. He draws aliens and these alien weapons and just this futuristic melting pot better than I can imagine anybody else doing it. But if it's a choice between having it come back with a different artist and not having it come back at all, I probably would choose to have it come back with a different artist, but obviously I'd love it if Andy Clark came back as well. So, but anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. And it's going to do it for our recaps of our in-depth recaps of Replica. It's a great series. It's one of my favorite, highly recommend it. You can find the issues pretty inexpensively on eBay or back issue bins, that sort of thing, or you can get the trade. Obviously the trade's out now as well. So it's not too tough to find. It's also available digitally on Comixology and such. So anyway, like I said, that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank everybody for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time. You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.